habits, and we've been teaching on that. But you may not ever get the supernatural gift of discerning of spirits, but you can discern spirits if you don't have that gift. Amen? Now, the discerning of spirits is, you know, there's good and evil. And people that discern spirits are usually people in the ministry that God is giving supernatural eyes so that they can see things in the spirit realm that you may never see. But they do it not for them to be curious to look and see stuff, but that their gift, perhaps of casting out spirits or warning people of things that they need to see. Now, there's a thing called spiritual blindness, spiritual deafness, and this spiritual blindness and deafness moves all over the land, all over the world. The devil is the god of this world, and he brings a blindness. Things sometimes are not as they seem, and so God will give somebody the ability to see somebody's spirit, to see their intentions, to see whether they are Christian or non-Christian. And for the purpose of warning the church or the body of Christ. And that particular gift will work with prophets and deliverance ministries mostly. Also healing ministries. The reason that gift will work is because in the healing ministry, some things are caused by your neglect of your body. If you go out every day and you eat nothing but sugar things and no substantial food diet, sooner or later you're going to get sick. And I mean, it might taste good to your flesh, but it's not good for your body, right? And so spiritual discerning of spirits is able to discern the supernatural aspects of discerning of spirits. But you as a Christian are led by the Spirit of God, or you're supposed to be led by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us in John 14, will lead you into all truth. So, how do you discern if you don't have that gift of discerning of spirits? Because it's important for you to know whether you're in the presence of a godly person, right? Particularly if they're teaching you, or if you're in the presence of an imposter. Now, physical eyes can discern the outside of a person very easily at times. Whenever the people wanted a king instead of a prophet and the voice of God to lead them in the Old Testament, the Bible says that when they saw Saul, he was head and shoulders over everyone. He must have been a very attractive man, and they ran after him. And it's still that way today. I mean, people's taste and their minds and what they hear somebody say, that may be a lie, but because of their physical bodies, their false anointings. Did you know there's a false anointing, by the way? So you can't necessarily tell by the anointing, you know. But these days and times, you can't tell by physical presence because you remember Todd Bentley. I mean, this was a man that when I saw him, if I saw him walking down an alleyway, I'd run for my life the way he looked, with all his tattoos and his biker look, you know, look like Hell's Angels or the Outlaws. So your discerning of spirits is directed by the Lord if you let him direct you. And I remember as a little baby Christian, I didn't want to miss God. And I prayed about everything that I did. If I went to the bookstore, I prayed about the books that I picked up and bought. If I went to a meeting, I prayed about that meeting before I would go inside the meeting because I didn't know anything. And so if the Holy Spirit is your teacher and he's going to direct you into all truth, and that's what the Bible says, then you have to have your dependency upon him to direct you spiritually. Amen? And as long as you do that, you will be protected. It's only when we step out and we decide that we want to do what we want to do, then we get in trouble. Now, the Holy Spirit, being your teacher, sometimes will put you in a situation that you can't understand. Like, I remember he put me in three different churches over my life. One was the Assembly of God for a while. They didn't like me. Pentecostal Holiness didn't like me. And the Church of God acted like they liked me. But I don't think they did. And I didn't stay in the charismatic church too long because it was kind of weird to me. I couldn't tell what they believed. They were just a bunch of untrained people trying to lead a bunch of baby Christians. So at least you had some sort of doctrinal teaching in those denominational churches. They weren't so supernatural. But some of the preachers did know parts of the Bible. And when he got me to one of those churches, it was a big church, and I'd walk in the church and take my kids in there. Nobody would speak to us. The pastor was nice to me, but he didn't receive me. And I'd go in there, and I'd say, "Why do you have me here? I'm not learning anything here." And eventually he let me leave. But I'll tell you what I saw in there. I saw a lot of religious spirits. I saw a lot of strange activity. In one of those churches, there was an Indian. And every time the music would crank up, his head would start bobbing, which was okay. My head bobs, right? But then it'd start going from side to side. And then, eventually, it would be turning so fast, around and around and around, his whole body jerking, and his tongue would be out like that. Well, you know, I'd look at him, and I'd say, "That is a religious spirit." I could tell that by my eyesight, not that I had the discerning of spirits at that time. I could tell that. But the pastor just sat up there and smiled and received that as the Holy Spirit because he was spiritually blinded, you see. But if you're a true Christian, God will protect you. And eventually, as the ministry began to grow, the Lord showed me that he had me in various places to show me religious spirits. There were no teachers of deliverance back in those days like you have. So you had to learn by experience. And you had to learn by a lot of warfare coming against you all the time. And your head being bashed in a lot of the times. Training sessions with the Holy Spirit sometimes can be painful. Even if you do have a teacher. Because when something happens, and you have a good teacher and you're submitted to the Holy Ghost and Jesus, after it's all over, sit back and think about it. Think about what you felt. Think about what you saw. Ask the Lord where it came from. And that's another way that he teaches you. It's like shots. If you never had a shot, a needle shot, and you had to go to the doctor and he starts coming at you with a big needle, you're going to run from him. Because you think that that's going to cause pain. And although you don't know how much pain, but you run from it. Well, you see, the Holy Spirit lets you experience certain things so that he can teach you. And you think about it. You reason with God about it. Why did I have to have that headache? Why did this happen to me? Now, several weeks ago, Miss Mila was diagnosed with a gallstone. And her husband went up on Demon Busters and looked up gallstones and prayed that deliverance prayer over her. And then when she went back, gallstones are gone. They can't find them. She never experienced passing them. But she had a testimony. And the testimony is, God healed me. And from my experience, demons caused it. Right? So she had a testimony, which she shared with us several weeks ago. So everything that happens in your life is for a purpose for you to get with Jesus and his word to discover what spirit is operating and why did it operate in your life. Amen. And he'll show you things because he wants you to get to heaven. So the natural spiritual discernment is through experience of attack, through experience of defeat of the attack, through experience of observance of what's going on in your life. But you also have to know that there's two spirits. Now, all good things come down from the God, the Father from above, is what the Word says, paraphrased. But we know that if God is good, and God wants us to have those things and to have a good life, and I think he does. We know that John 10:10 says that the devil came to rob, to kill, and to destroy. And Jesus came to give you life and give it to you more abundantly, abundant life. We also know that the Bible says that God can do above whatever you can even think. I mean, that's why every day you see new inventions. There are things that man hasn't ever thought of that will be invented today and tomorrow and the next day. Amen? So, he causes bondages, the devil, snares, and oppression. And bondages are bondages of things to sin and to habits and things that you want to do that are not good for you. And if the devil can get you in that bondage, then step by step by step, he leads you on down into the powers of darkness until you're gone. And when you go down that dark pathway, it's very difficult to get back on the pathway of light. Not because Jesus won't immediately take you back. It's that your will stop you from coming back. Your flesh will stop you. Because you see, some of these things are bondages. We've always called them at Miracle pleasure devils. And in deliverance, you always have to if you're a deliverance ministry or training to be one, you have to put your finger on where is this person coming from? Are they really sincere about this deliverance? Now, if a person comes and they treat it like this, they say, you know, there's razor blades in my stomach just cutting my stomach apart. And I can't sleep at night. And I get these terrible headaches. And I got a backache. And they tell you all these bad things. And then, let's just take the simple one that we face mostly when we're deliverance ministry. But I smoke. Well, you have to look at I smoke from the standpoint of being a demonic bondage. And what they will do is they don't want to give up that pleasure devil. They don't want to give up the pleasure devil of alcohol, the pleasure devil of adultery, sexual fornications, overeating, all kinds of little sins, looking at pornography. There's millions of them. They want to keep those pleasure devils, but they don't want to say, Lord, I'll sell out to you. Help me to give it up, and I'll give it up. No, flesh calls and says, but I want to smoke, and you do too. So let her get rid of the pleasure, tormenting devils, but you can smoke. Well, you see, the truth of it is you can't get anybody free unless they come all the way. And sometimes as you're trying to explain these things to them, you got to come all the way, you got to give it up, you got to come all the way. The devil that is the gatekeeper of their mind is interpreting what you're saying to them, and it comes into their mind, and that devil says, well, you can get free of these tormenting devils, but smoking is not going to keep you out of heaven, and God doesn't care if you do that. And so you listen to the voice inside instead of the minister. Now, that's one side of the deliverance ministry. The other thing is, if you begin to cast devils out of somebody that is hanging on to those pleasure devils, when you come to the point that they're clinging to the pleasure devils and will not give it up, stop the deliverance right then and say, when you're ready, we'll have some more sessions. Because you see, when you cast out the tormenting devils, it's like going to the emergency room and getting a shot for pain. But when the painkiller wears off, it comes back, doesn't it? The pain comes back. And so it's a temporary relief. And in deliverance, when you drive devils out, seven times worse comes back in. So you're not doing anybody any favor by casting devils out unless they want them out. Amen? I mean, unless they want to go all the way with Jesus, just pray for them and say, Jesus, make them willing. Jesus knows how to make people willing. And when the Lord takes his hand off of a person, that dark road will get very dark. And some people never come back. That's what you have to understand. But as the deliverance minister, when you get into the deliverance itself, you're going to be going after the causes of the bondages. And the causes are snares, and oppression, and will. So while a deliverance minister is working in the ministry, he's an instrument or she's an instrument being used by the Holy Ghost. And you have to get the person that you're ministering to in total agreement to what you're saying to them. And this is in our country where we're having so much difficulty in keeping people free because they don't understand these things. These are simple little things that I'm teaching you today. They don't understand spiritual things that when the unclean spirit comes back, it goes to the dry places, not finding any peace. It comes back to that person. And if they're not filled with the Holy Ghost and the things of God as much as they were the things of the devil, the demon just floats back in, you see. And seven times worse, as I said. So they don't understand that. But you take it step by step. Now, in the deliverance session itself, they'll be going along with the deliverance as long as you're casting demons out of their back, out of their stomach, headaches, things like tormenting devils. They doing what you tell them to. But uh-oh, go hit on something that they're walking in agreement with. And all of a sudden, they get very vague. They don't respond the way you're telling them to respond. You say, breathe in, breathe out, and they just sit there. Or you say, cough, they just sit there. Or they try to change the subject. These are just signs that you have to look at during the session. And you give them a chance, and you tell them two or three times, do this, do that. And if they're not responding, just stop the deliverance because you're going nowhere. You're going up a blind alley. You see what I'm saying? And so these are just little things that I've learned over the time that I've been in the deliverance ministry. And that's when you'll see me step away and just leave them like they are. And I'll see them like they are. I don't pray for them for deliverance. And maybe you're a deliverance minister trying to learn deliverance, and the Lord is showing you that person. And you see this and you see that, and you look at Pastors Dennis and Pastor Holiday and Izzy, Pastor Izzy, and you say, I can see that. Why can't they see that? They can see it. I can see it. But we don't move on everything that wiggles unless God tells us to. And when we see that people are playing around with Jesus, we pray for them. We ask God to bring them along as best he can. And when they get ready and they come and say, I'm ready, then God's ready. Now, I'm telling you all of these things because I got a telephone call from a certain person that used to come to this church some time ago. And this person, as he was going through deliverance, we would tell him, listen, deliverance comes step by step, by the way. You can get rid of a whole slew of devils, and God says that's enough for today. And he might stop it so that person can learn to walk through that deliverance that they've got. But God's seal will be on a person like that until you go back to him and he sends you back to him again. We're talking about willful people here. This particular person is in terrible shape, crying on the telephone. Ran into Lisa. Lisa told him to come over. She said, they'll lock the doors and keep you in there until you get delivered. That's what they do. And I said, no, we don't do that. I don't know where that came from, but we don't do that. But anyway, he's crying on the phone and he's telling me that he's tormented day and night. He can't sleep. He's given up sex. He's given up all alcohol. He's doing the best he can. But I smoke. And so the way I told him, I said, what you do is you come over to the church and we'll seek what God wants to do with you. He is not here today. Might be him on the phone. But the truth is, he's so tormented. And he was in bad shape when he was here. And see, people that have flighted through miracle, flighted out of miracle, and there's no place that I know in Jacksonville for them to go. If it is here, I have never seen it. No place for them to go. And so they get worse and worse and worse. Some of these people will go all the way down to their deathbed serving Satan and their sin life and their will and their flesh. As a matter of fact, I've seen some of them do such. So you have to know that God is calling you to get real. Stop playing church. Give it up for Jesus. I give up a lot for Jesus. And so do other people in this church. Give him everything. Do what he tells you to do. Don't do what you want to do. Do what he tells you to do. And you'll begin to grow in the Spirit. You'll begin to grasp onto the Word. You'll begin to have an understanding of the Word. And you'll grow. And you'll become a sanctified Christian. Sanctification comes from the hand of God. You cannot be good because you're a human being. But you can be good if you let Jesus lead you. If you fill yourself with the Word of God. If you stop your sin life, you can be good. It's funny, it's supernatural. All of it's supernatural. And so now, if you got your pencils, I want you to look these scriptures up because of lack of time today. Plus, that's the way you learn. I never taught people in the seminary the scriptures right out the way I do you. I'd give them the scripture reference, make them go home, look it up, and come back and tell me what they found and interpret it to me. And so, Luke 8:29b, Acts 10:38, Romans 8:15, 1 Timothy 3:7, 2 Timothy 2:26. And you will find these scriptures cover the causes of bondages, snares, and oppression. Now, go and look up the scriptures, Job 2:7, Luke 13:11, 12, 16, 2 Corinthians 12:7. These scriptures show you how the devil attacks in diseases. Most of your diseases are demonic. As I said, some of them are because you don't take care of your body. Amen? Eat sugar, you're going to get fat. I found that out. Amen? Oh, just a little bit isn't going to hurt. But give me a box of chocolate candy, and within just probably 15 minutes, it'd all be gone. Right? I don't do that no more. And then, God sometimes uses the devil to punish the disobedience. And you see 1 Samuel 16:14, 1 Corinthians 5:5, and 1 Timothy 1:20. And so, there are causes when things are not going well. Like in our country, things are not going well. Our leaders are lying to us. They borrowed $8.5 billion to help open up the credit lines so that us, the little normal people, could get car loans and house loans. As soon as they got the money, what did they do with the money? They gave it to banks. Banks took that money and bought banks that were going under. The credit line never got to us. These people are selling us out day and night, and they're fixing to do another big package with the automobile and several other things. I heard it on the way. I think it was something like $7 billion again or something. But the truth is, we're being lied to. But know this for your peace of mind. If you submit yourself very closely to the Lord, He's going to take care of you. There were Christians in Russia that got through the oppression, and there were many that went and died the martyr's faith. But there was also many of them that lived all through that. They're going back underground now as I speak to you. Just found it out a couple of days ago. But God judges a nation according to the spiritual healthiness of the church. So what you're seeing going on in our country is our entire country is now fallen under the judgments of God. The church people are not coming out of it. And I'm not talking about us, okay? We're talking about the general church people. They're still on TBN with the pink-haired witch standing up, going like this every time they talk about giving them some money. They're still on there, creaming the people or trying to get them. Send me your money and God will bless you. God isn't going to bless you because you send TBN money or some of those false prophets money. He's going to bless you because you're obedient to the Spirit of God. Amen? And so if you're obedient to the Spirit of God, He will direct your path. But as I see things, truthfully, I don't see things getting better in our nation daily. I see things getting worse. But it doesn't mean it's all over for us as Christians. Submit yourself to God, and God will help you. Now, I want you to pray with me. I want you to say, Lord, I believe your word, and I want you to do 1 Samuel 4:8 for me. I want you to deliver me out of the snares of the devil, and I want you to help me to be doers of the word. I want you to take the word that I have just learned and that I shall learn when I look those scriptures up. And I want you to plant them in my heart. And I want you, the God of battles, of 2 Chronicles 25:8, that you help me to be strong and that you become my God of the battles, that you will make my enemies fall before my left and my right, and that you will give me overcoming power. I thank you that I know Jesus. He's my personal Savior. and help me to know how to yield to Him, how to depend on Him, even as the earth is being shaken as we live. You will put us on steady ground. We thank you for today. We thank you for this church. We ask you to bring people to our church. We ask you to bring finances to our church, to our personal lives, that every need shall be met. We ask you to strengthen the pastors, the workers in the field, the membership of this church, our families, and everything that we put our hands to, that you will push the plow and you will give us a harvest. We give you praise and glory that you will heal our bodies and every sickness, every germ, every pain, every attack has to go. And if I'm in any willful sin, you will put your finger on it and you will deliver me. And I bind the devils off of my will today in Jesus' name. And I thank you for strength, power, and love of the Holy Ghost. Amen.